mean, they started pretty early on. And I think it's right. I think it is. I think that as an organization like this, you don't want to spend, you know, 24/7 fundraising all the time. So you figure out what is the big one that will kind of get you what you need for your organization, so you're not spending every waking hour fundraising, because I mean, one could do that.
Tell me about some of the programs that Sculpture Space runs, if any.
Well, our program, I mean, we're almost a singular program organization. Our program is our Artists in Residency. We've done a few, we're working on more, I suppose. Within our Artists Residency, this last couple years, we've developed a long-term residence program where we invite one artist, a singular artist, to come join us for 9 months instead of 2 months. Yeah, I don't know if I ever said that in my previous stuff, is this is a two-month program, generally speaking. I did. So instead of being here for one cohort, they're here for three cohorts. So the beauty about that program is that it links things, you know, where we have people come and go, and they don't know. We have one artist now that you know, kind of is the bridge between cohorts and the bridge to Utica, and the longer they're here, the more they know. The last artist we had here was a woman from Georgia. She was just amazing, Anika Kai, and she was an African-American woman who did, she sculpted with hair, and her whole goal in coming here was to bring metal into her sculpting practice. And she was just an amazing woman. She taught at Pratt University when she was here. She really got into the community, and people began to know her and love her, and it's just, you know, again, lovely thing. We started with a new one. He's brand new. Jeffrey Gibbons is now with us, and he's amazing in his own right as well. And he's it's a way to bridge ourselves with people for a longer period. We also did a program 2 summers ago where we invited kids from the local high school into the studio, and invited a couple of our alumni artists in to teach them. And it was a way to put the A in the STEAM, making STEM into STEAM. So basically to put art into process in the schools so that the kids have a better understanding of what it's like to be a professional artist.
What does the network of artists look like after they get done their residency at Sculpture Space?
That's a good question. I don't know if I see it clearly myself, personally. I think that there is one. I'm sure that artists that meet each other and know that they have a connection with Sculpture Space, they have connections with one another, and that's kind of an interesting connection in the future. The thing is that we used to be, we were one of probably 10 residencies when we first started 50 years ago. Now I want to say there's probably 500 to 600 residencies throughout the country. So we're not unique as a residency anymore. We're unique in what we do for sculptors. There are not many that are so focused on just sculptural intent. There are a couple that do some of that, but so that sets us apart and sets us in connectivity with one another. And it is amazing to me when I was talking to one of our artists just yesterday. She said, "Oh yeah, someone's coming, and they have a connection that wasn't even sculpture, but they're coming at the same time next year." And those kinds of things happen all the time.
How does Sculpture Space stay relevant at a time where there are now many residencies that they can do?
Good question. That is the question du jour, I would say. Relevancy, I think, is really important. I think that is why we are always changing. I mean, again, we do it well, but I think that it is, you know, keeping up to speed on what is happening and that's why we bring guest jurors in oftentimes, because our jury pool for years was just people who lived here in Utica or in the area and were part of the board or whatever else, and that kept us kind of in a place. Now we're having artists. We had, for example, we had the co-founder of Hyperallergic, which is a very big online art organization down in New York City, on one of our review panels, and you know, so he brought his sensibilities to the process, and so we are then, I think, really on the cutting edge of finding the artists that are doing strange new things that we can support them to do. So,
how many applicants do you normally get?
Anywhere from 200 to 400 each year, and so we pick 20 artists from that. So the chances are, 10% or less is the, you know.
Do people often then reapply to try come back if they do not get selected?
Oh yeah, we actually people who applied for years and years and years and years, and I always feel awful. I mean, we again, and I, what I say to artists, and this is the damn truth, is that you know, do apply again. It's not like because we invite guest jurors and the jury pool is different each year. The proclivities of that pool are different. They like different things each year. So if you didn't get in one year because people weren't into the I don't know, whatever, the water sculpture that was happening in your work, that didn't appeal to anybody. The next year we could have somebody who was really into that, and that would bring you to the top. You know, so I mean, I've seen that happen quite a bit, where someone's, you know, scoring pretty low one year, the next year they're scoring pretty high. So
the selection committee looks different each year, as you said. Can you describe what that process looks like?
Well, well, we have, like I said, our board is comprised of a third of our board is artists. So we generally have one, two, or three artists from our board that are on that. I am on that. So that's four locals. And then we bring in, I mean, this is evolving because each year it's been different. When I first got here, it was much different than it is today. But now we invite two guest jurors. And what we look for there is artists that have a deep reach into the sculpture communities and have a unique perspective on sculpture. So that's how we select those guest jurors. So this year we have another woman who's a writer. She lives in Troy, and she's writes for Hyperallergic. She's a sculptor herself and an art critic. Another woman who runs a very large granting organization for artists and sculptors alike in New York City. We invited both of them to join our review process this year. And then we invited Balam, who is an alumni resident down in Mexico City. So again, we have people all over the world in general. We've had artists from Europe. And so yeah, I mean, it's like we bring in who we feel will have the sensibilities to bring in something different. And I think we've succeeded. I think it's been a very good thing.
How many board members do you have at Sculpture Space?
12 to 16 is the, but it's been generous as I've been. We can have up to 25, but that to me seems very unwieldy. I don't see that. But it could happen.
What efforts is Sculpture Space making to expand?
Good question. You know, again, capacity, money is always the back thing in the back of my mind as the executive director here is how do we make things different and change, you know? And for the last couple of years, there's been a lot of energy on our board, and we've been talking a lot about it, of how do we change our campus to provide more services, more richer services to invited artists. And so I think we'll see in the next couple of years a big effort of campus planning here at Sculpture Space, which we'll be talking about how does our facility look. I mean, right now we are still in the existing building that was, you know, probably about 100 years old at least by now. There used to be a big manufacturing area, and it is what it is, and it provides a lot of good space and productive space for artists, obviously, but could we do more? Could we have a foundry? Could we have a ceramics department? Could we have classrooms? Could we have a community meeting space or a concert space, for example? Could we do more with our external spaces, as making a bigger, grander sculpture and garden presence in our community? So that's where I see us going is building out and figuring out ways to be more impactful for the artists that visit us and the community that we live in. Yeah, so.
What efforts is there to expand upon the existing land you have? I think you mentioned something about outside expanding.
Well, we have the land we have, which is about an acre and a half, maybe. You know, it's not a huge amount of space. I mean, in terms of some of the, I mean, some of the sculpture parks that I've been to and seen, it's just like, you know, oh, dream. I mean, these are, you know, hundreds of acres of rolling hills, and you can put sculptures on the hillside and the valleys and all this stuff. A lot of space, right? We don't have that. We're kind of an urban situation, so we have what we have. So the way I kind of envision it, again, this is all a work in progress. This could change tomorrow. But I think that what I'm looking at and thinking about is that the exterior 1 acre that we have around our building is like an exterior gallery space, if you will. And so sculptures, you can't just, you know, put a painting on the wall like you can a 2D work and easily, you know, make a gallery show. Sculpture is much more challenging, especially the sculpture the size that we want to have outside. So the way I envision it is that we develop a program and a plan for our visiting artists, that we select one or two a year that will be our exterior artists, that will, you know, maybe it'll be our long-term resident plus one or something, that will give them some space outside to actually have a revolving and a changing outdoor space, so when people drive by or come by our space, they can see unique and new sculpture.
Can you talk a little bit about the work that the current residents are doing?
Sure. We have four artists right now. We have one, our long-term resident. I mentioned his name, Jeff Gibbons. He's from Detroit originally. He lived in Texas for many, 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 many years, and now he's moved to upstate New York into Alfred. He's a conceptual artist, I will say. He does lots of construction pieces that move, moving parts, and he has a huge, deep degree of humor in his work. I mean, his work is hilarious, but also very thoughtful. And he's a thinker, really great, great stuff. I'm very excited to see what he does in the 9 months here. We have Carly Charles-Claire. She's from Louisiana, New Orleans, and her whole thing is, and I'll take you around to show you the studios, but her whole thing is how to capture history through latex. She uses latex rubber as her medium, and she does a lot of castings, and the casting is the creation. So, I mean, for example, she did almost an entire house in Louisiana where she painted, you know, the entire thing with latex rubber and then pulls it off, and then you get the impression of that piece. I might have mentioned that she's right now today in some stream bed somewhere. I don't even know where the hell it is. She's out there and she's painting latex on there's a root ball or something that really inspired her. So she's getting the memory of that in latex, and she's going to use that in pieces. And then what she does with her work is she hangs it and drapes it in different ways, and it's quite stunning. Then we have Insoon Ha, who is from South Korea originally, but now lives in Toronto. And her work is, it's super, super intense. I mean, there's a lot of pain and a lot of expression of trauma, I think, in it. And it's hard to even, I mean, she uses a lot of figurative stuff. Photographs have been part of her work. She's now doing some pieces in ceramics with, it's to talk to her about. I can't really even begin to explain it, but it's very interesting stuff. And last but not least, we have Joe Sheehan. He's an artist from New Zealand, and very, very strange. He found us by way of his father grew up in Little Falls, which is not so far from here, and so that's how he kind of, I guess, we got on his radar. He visited Little Falls, I think maybe his first time in the U.S., I'm not even sure, was a couple of years ago. He came and saw us and met us at that point in time, and then he applied and got in. He's a very, very accomplished stone sculptor. He does big figurative stuff in New Zealand. You should look him up. He was in the New York Times just a couple weeks ago, and his work is really, really interesting stuff. Here, since he's sort of out of his element, he didn't bring huge stones with him. He didn't want to purchase a huge stone to carve on here. He's been finding stones around the neighborhood and trying to apply metal to the. I mean, it's really and wood, I guess. He's having his work is dialoguing with different mediums. So it's interesting stuff.
What have the artists that have done their residence here taught you while you've been working here?
Oh my gosh, so much. I mean, so much. Honestly, I mean, there's so much. Resilience, persevering of vision is. I mean, that's I think for me is one of the things of seeing people, you know, old and young who get something in their head and it's like it's. They don't let it go, you know. I mean, it's like they have a vision for what they want to be doing, and that's the thing. What really propels the creative process is that focus on things. So it's very interesting, inspiring. So many notes.
How has your prior experience in your other fields related to your current work here now?
Well, I'm kind of a simple dude, I guess. I think that for me, it's like what I mean, for many years before I was the CEO or the bookstore chain, I was their marketing director for probably 10 or 15 years. And I kind of got inside people's, the brain of marketing and how marketing works. I don't understand it all. And I certainly, it's evolving, like sculpture's evolving. And back in the day, newsprint and, radio was all the rage. And, the idea is how do you get into people's mind and talk to people about things, So I think what I've brought to the table here, and I think what's been helpful to this organization, is how to tell our story to people, and how to get the word out, how to market ourselves to a larger population. And I think that there is some real reasons to keep this place small and hidden, and I think a lot of other reasons to keep it, make it bigger and get it more public, because I think that there is great stuff happening here. As long as the core values of our organization don't change, I think that the more people we bring to the party, the bigger the party is, and it's the funner it can be, I think. So.
What are those core values? You mentioned people is the center, but what are some other ones?
Well, I think supporting the cultural element of our communities is so important to, I would say to the world, and it sounds too vast, but a world without cultural influences, I think, is a very boring world. So how do we, as a society, support and nurture and figure out ways to take care of the people that are doing that kind of work? I think that to put validity into that work is a real challenge, especially when and I even said it myself, money is important. Money is important. It is. But, not at the expense of the soul of who we are, the soul of our humanity, which is expressed through, I think, the cultural expressions of things. And that's where I think that sculpture is just one avenue. There's so much more that's happening in the creative sector, but I think that sculpture is a great medium, and it's a great way to do that. So
how do you feel sculpture space is evolving? Do you like what's happening with it?
I do. I really do. I mean, I think that, again, I would like us to be bigger faster. And again, bigger is not, I'm not talking about, worldwide. I'm just saying, I think that, I think that we need to learn how to build our capacity faster. When I say capacity, getting more, more of our physical plant, focusing on what that might be. But again, it's always a slow process because, without the money to build those things or the money to pay employees to do things, it just happens very slowly. So that's the challenge. And yeah.
You mentioned your big fundraising efforts. What are some littler ones that you have done here?
Well, we just had our Fright Night Fridays here at Sculpture Space. And it's something we have an evolving committee, which we call our fun committee, which is doing some interesting things. And one of them was to do a movie nights in outdoor movie nights on the side of our building in October. Very small turnout, which is fine. It was the first step, but I think that again, it's how do we create community? How do we create fun kind of things for people to connect with us? Again, what we do here is kind of abstract to a lot of people, What's sculpture space? What do you do? Do you make sculptures? And I guess that the answer is yes, kind of, but not really. What we are, we're trying to nurture the sculptural element. But again, if people are not coming to see us and don't feel comfortable here, then forget it. And I think that's, in a community like Utica, it is a challenge because I'll say that there is diversity is a challenge for us, and it's a challenge for many organizations like ours. We are in a community that is, I don't know what the socioeconomic makeup of this community is. I'll say there is a lot of poverty in our community. There is a lot of the diversity of ethnicity in our community is huge. We have lots of immigrants from Bosnian culture, from the Karen population. We have a huge African-American population. We have Polish community center is right next to us over here. I mean, just all kinds of cultures, you know, and how can we as an organization, in this organization, in this community of lots of different people, be relevant and be part of the community in a meaningful way, you know, and to be you know, sort of Eurocentric in our approach to art is not the way to do that. That's what I'm saying is there's a larger art field out there. We just have to ask the right questions and do it correct. I mean, do it that way, which is why I think we try to bring in other voices and try to you know, tease out that from the from within, I guess, is what I'm saying. And so it's always a challenge, but I think we're making great strides that way, and I think that's something that we want to be working on in the future for sure.
How do you see Sculpture Space being able to do what you're saying, connecting with the community?
Invite. Welcome. I mean, honestly, that might sound trite. It is that's a trite thing to say. Maybe it's not that simple. It really is not. But I think that the thing is, don't be austere. You know, don't be so austere that you're frightening. You know, I mean, I hear from a lot of people. You know, you go to a museum, you know, big city museums, you know, and it's like you go to these big, huge, you know, I don't know, concrete walls and, you know, just beautiful buildings and just big, you know, whatever. But it's like, you know, just by looking at that, people feel I don't belong there. You know. And how does that change? And I mean, I don't have a full answer for that. But I think that people need to feel welcome. People need to feel that this is about them as much as it's about anyone else. I mean, it's not a one size fits all for sure. And so that's why we're doing weird, strange things sometimes. And you, again, the medium is the maker, and it's like the medium is always changing. So what is the medium that will attract one person will totally turn off someone else. And I'll say, as I said to you earlier, I mean, my passion in my art stuff is figurative art. Some people say, that's so old. It's like, yeah, you know, I want contemporary. I want, you know, abstract. I want, you know, whatever. And, you know, there's, you know, it's like everything. It's like politics. It's like, it's like people have different opinions. It's like there should be room for all of us, I guess is what I'm saying. And how you make that happen, it's not easy, and it's not consistent, and it's fits and starts, I guess.
Has there been any effort for Sculpture Space to connect with museums in the area?
Oh, absolutely. We work very closely with the Munson Museum, which is the Munson Williams Proctor, blah blah blah. It's a long list of names, but they call themselves Munson now. The museum of town, and it hits way above its class in a lot of ways in a town like ours. I mean it's part of the reason why I was attracted to Utica. I'll say I think it's part of the reason why a lot of people are attracted to Utica, is you come to Utica and the center of town is a museum, and this was founded years ago by some visionaries with lots of money, and they put an endowment and they put it together to where it was not only a beautiful museum at the time, but they had money to fund it in perpetuity forever and ever and ever and ever. So it exists today because of that. And so we have a great connection. I think that we're running into our 50th anniversary coming up in about 3 years. And we'll have, I think, one of our bigger shows will probably be in that museum. We had Pratt, there's an adjunct of Pratt University from Brooklyn that's here in town. There's only two Pratts. One is in Utica, and one is in Brooklyn. It's a sort of a feeder to the bigger Pratt. And like I said, we were very close with them, and we've had our long-term resident last year. At least she was a professor over there. She taught over there as well as working here. So it was a nice relationship.
Can you talk about the age range that you might get for your residents?
Our board president, Amy Tarasek, is probably, I say she might still hold the record for being the youngest. She was here when she was an undergraduate. She was probably 25, 27, young. I mean, it was before my time, but she's still not. She's still young-ish. So from 20 to 60s. I mean, probably even older. I don't necessarily ask the age. I don't really keep track of that. But I mean, we do keep track of it. I don't really note it in my mind. But you know, the age ranges are different. But I think that. Yeah, I think that it's all over the map. But in general, I think we get, I mean, if I was to say the general age range of our common mainstay of artists is probably 30 to 45, probably, right in there.
You talked a little bit about art shows. Do the residents then have their own art show after? Can you talk a little bit about that?
They don't here. We don't do that. I mean, our byline, my marketing thing, make art happen one artist at a time is kind of what we say. And we say that we're not like a museum. We are not, we are a space where you see art in action. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's like, you know, you go to a museum to see art on the wall or on a pedestal and look at the art that's been finished. Here you actually, which is the beauty about what we do here in for the community, it's such a resource. That's why I can't say enough to people when I talk about coming here. It's like, where else? I mean, very few places, maybe New York City has a bit more of this, but very few places in the world do you have a place where you can go on a regular basis and see a different artist each time you go in there doing something totally different. I mean, it'd be fun to sort of juxtapose, that's the wrong word, but you know, contrast, you know, artists from one to the next and sort of how different they work. And that's, you know, so for artists in the making, young people, you know, we invite all ages. We have young kids running around the studio sometimes. And that's always really, for me, it makes me feel really good because, you know, you see kids that can see that, yes, it is possible to be an artist, you know, it is.
What is an interesting medium you've seen residents use that has blown
scent?
Your mind?
Yeah, perfume is one, yeah, perfume. The virtual thing kind of blew my mind when I first saw it. I thought, oh my God, people are doing stuff where you're sculpting and it's not on paper, it's not on a canvas, it's not anywhere. It's just it's in bits and bytes on some computer server somewhere. And, you know, that seems a little abstract and kind of weird, but, you know, I mean, I think that there's food there. What ends up happening and being, I don't really know, honestly. It's sort of in progress. But you know, that inspired me a little bit to say, wow, that's really trippy. I love, love, love. And I think I told you about our sculpture out in front that happens every year. It's an ongoing, it's sculpting with nature where the artist planted daffodils in the foundations of houses that used to be in our neighborhood. And even though the houses are no longer there, each spring up pops rows of where the foundations were of daffodils. So you say, wow, this is where the neighborhood used to be. Yeah, that's genius. That's genius. So
to conclude, is there anything else you would like to say about yourself or sculpture space as a whole?
Not really. I mean, this is an exciting place. I got to say, you know, I moved here across the country, you know, 8 years ago, and I've lived apart from my wife for 8 years because I truly, truly believe in the mission of what's going on here. I think that it's an important thing for not only for Utica, it's I think it's important for our country for sure, is to have places like this, and not just here, you know, but I mean, supporting places like this that are doing really good things for artists and trying to support them, you know, on a shoestring budget, but doing the best you can to support artists in their path to creating things, because if that isn't there, where would it be? Yeah.
I guess to conclude, where do you see sculpture going within the next 5 to 10 years?
Boy, that's a deep question. I don't honestly know. I think it's going all over the map. I think that instead of being more specific, it's becoming more general in a way. I think that, you know, sculpture as a medium has changed dramatically. It really has, and it's like, I don't really know. Yeah, I don't really know. I think that, you know, we're used to, like I said, when we started here, it was like pretty, you know, you kind of knew what sculpture was. Sculpture was, it had its own box, you know. But I kind of feel like as we go on, you know, sculpture is becoming less and less boxed, which I think, I mean, it may sort of be what art is becoming. I think that maybe it's what humans are becoming in a way, if you think about it. It's like, you know, we used to put ourselves in boxes, you know, and I guess go down a whole path there. But I think it's interesting to say that because I think that art in general is mediums are meeting, you know, where it used to be just 2D. Now the 2D artists are doing depth to their stuff, and you know, I don't know what to say. Yeah, that's kind of what I see happening.
Yeah. Well, thank you. This was great. Appreciate your time.
And thank you for the Cooper Sound Institute.